بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 22nd of October in the year 2020 الحمد لله the last few sessions I've been mentioning various glorious verses of the Quran in which Allah the Almighty and Exalted Subhanahu wa Ta'ala describes the awesome day of resurrection. And in each of the descriptions, you get a very vivid image of what will take place on that awesome day. And thus far, I've been through 27 of the verses. So inshallah, to conclude with the remaining few today. So the 28th, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says in Surah Al-Naba, Surah 78, verse 2. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Anin naba'il azim. Are they asking of the immense news? Anin naba'il azim. Are they asking of the immense news? So Surah Naba means the news. So the word for news is Naba. But Allah the Almighty and Glorious, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He describes the day of resurrection as Naba'il Azim, i.e. the immense news. So imagine, people are so hooked up onto the daily news. They want to know what's happening, dunya halat. But what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious call? Naba'il Azim, the immense news. And that is one of the titles of the glorious day of resurrection. 29. In Surah Al-Naba, Surah 78, verse 39, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Al-yawmul haqq. The day, this is the day of truth. ذَلِقَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ This is the day of truth. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, in the same surah, but in verse 39, He mentions that this is the day of truth. I, falsehood has no access to that day. So on the day of judgment, nobody will be able to do a fast one. Like you get people getting away literally with murder. They get the right lawyer. They got the right contacts. But Allah the Almighty and Glorious, nothing will get past Him. And one of the names He gives to this great day is Yawmul Haqq, i.e. the day of truth. The 30th, in Surah Al-Nazi'at, Surah 79, verse 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْقُبْرَى Then they will befall the great all-encompassing calamity. Then they will befall the great all-encompassing calamity. At-tammatu al-kubra, the all-encompassing immense calamity, meaning it will overwhelm the people. They will find no place of refuge to turn to, i.e. where shall we flee? And there's no fleeing because you are now being summoned for your worldly life, i.e. how you lived your worldly life. So it's called At-tammatul Kubra, the great all-encompassing calamity. 31. In Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Surah 83, verse 5, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ The immense day. لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ The immense day. I.e. Azim, we famously say in the ruku, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Glorified and free from all imperfection is the immense. The same attribute Allah Ta'ala gives for the day of resurrection. He goes, لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ I.e. the immense day. And the next verse says, the day when mankind will stand in front of the Lord of the worlds. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. 32. In Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Surah 88, verse 1. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ has the news of the overwhelming calamity reached you? SubhanAllah. Has the news of the overwhelming calamity reached you? Al-Ghashiya means the overwhelming day. So the surah is named after this, Surah Al-Ghashiya. The Prophet ﷺ would recite this surah on the day of Jummah quite frequently, and also on the day of Eid, because it describes the day of resurrection and also the pleasures of paradise. So it's called Al-Ghashiya. And what is the very first verse? Allah the Almighty and Glorious asks, Hal ataka hadithul ghashiya? Has the news, has the hadith of Ghashiya reached you? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said yes. Look how beautiful that is. Somebody was reciting this verse and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes, it has reached me. In other words, thank you for reminding me. So Allah Ta'ala calls it the overwhelming day. Hafiz ibn Kathir, he elucidated in his tafsir. It has been called this because it will overwhelm the people and overcome them. So Allahu Akbar, how frequently has our loving Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala described this awesome inevitable day in his glorious book? Would have any care to reflect? So obviously one excuse that people throw is that nobody has mentioned it. People have said, I've never heard anybody talk about these names. So obviously you have an excuse, but the excuse is feeble because it's the Quran. You might as well say, I'm not reading Quran. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 32 places, he describes this awesome day, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is he mentioned it so much? So you have no excuses. You have absolutely no excuses, i.e. on the great gathering. So compare this lack of concern to our example for excellence. Obviously, the more that you prepare for that day, the more you've taken into consideration the awesomeness of that day. But most of us, sadly, hardly reflect upon the Day of Judgment. But let's turn to one man who was an excellent example in this area. In Ibn Abi Dunya, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ma'rif al-Qur'an, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, he was once doing his nightly patrol and he overheard a man reciting Surah Tur, Surah 52. And he reached verse 7 and 8, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Inna azab rabbika lawaqi' ma lahu min dafi'. Verily the punishment of your Lord will certainly come to pass. There is indeed nobody that can avert it. So picture the scene. Umar radiallahu anhu is doing his nightly patrols. Radiallahu. And obviously we know the amusing reports where he would see people doing something wrong. And then he would jump over the wall and tell them off, etc., etc. But they weren't always doing something wrong. They were obviously very good people. This particular dwelling, a man was offering tahajjud. And he was reciting Surah Tur. So Umar radiallahu anhu was listening to him. And Surah Tur is obviously a very powerful, short Makkan surah. He got to verse 7 and 8. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in 7 and 8? Inna azaba rabbika lawaqi. Verily the punishment of your Lord will certainly come to pass. Ma lahu min dafi. There is nobody that can avert it. When he read these two verses, Umar radiallahu anhu said, by the Lord of the Kaaba, this is a true promise. By the Lord of the Kaaba, this is a true vow. He then dismounted from his donkey, sat next to a wall for a short while. He then returned to his dwelling and he fell ill for 1 month. During his illness, the people would visit him, not knowing what caused his illness, i.e. in the first place. So let's look at this. So what made Sayyidina Umar ill? Quran. And which verses in particular didn't trouble him, but he was fearing so much. And the two verses is the Day of Judgment. The punishment of your Lord will come to pass. Nobody can escape. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, we're doomed. Nobody can escape. Allah Ta'ala's words are true. So he reflected upon it. He got off his donkey, sat, and then the report says he went back to his dwelling. He was ill for the month. So think about that. What causes us to fall ill for the month? You know, we do fall ill, maybe a day, maybe a few days. After a few days, champion again. If somebody goes, you've been ill for the month, that means you're almost dead. What caused this mountain of a man to fall ill for around a month? And he was basically the Quran. He was seriously reflecting upon the verses of the day of resurrection. So the question to pose is, what did he have to worry about? You know, if we had the virtues of Sayyidina Umar, would you be worried about the day of judgment? If you were buried next to Rasulullah, would you be buried about the day of resurrection? So what's wrong with this? And the response is, our connection is weak. Of course, we accept the verses, otherwise you're kafir. So all the descriptions I've given, we have to accept it. But has it penetrated our heart? And Umar simply said, the true vow. He goes, it has to happen. There's nothing that can stop it. Allah Ta'ala says, nothing can stop it. It's going to happen. And his son, which is interesting, his son was reading Surah Mutaffifin. And Surah Mutaffifin, I mentioned the verse where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, لِيَوْمٍ عَزِيمٍ, the immense day. But then it says, the day when mankind will stand in front of the Lord of the worlds. Verse 6 of Surah Mutaffifin. He couldn't continue, Abdullah ibn Umar. He's just weeping and weeping. He kept repeating that verse. He goes, the day when mankind will stand in front of the Lord of the worlds. لِرَبِّ الْعَالِمِينَ. He just kept repeating that verse. He goes, the day that mankind will stand in front of the Lord of the worlds. So why, and this hadith is in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, Hayat al-Sahaba, Sahih. Why was he so petrified? Allah Ta'ala says, you're going to be standing in front of me. And Ibn Umar, Umar's son, he just couldn't continue after that verse. As if he was basically saying, what am I going to do when I stand in front of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Right? So each and every one of us has an appointment. And nothing can stop it. Think about that. You can cancel appointments on the earth. Yeah, I've come to cancel. Sorry about that. Bye. Can you do that on the day of judgment? So everybody has an appointment. And we have to prepare for that as best we can. And gracefully Allah Ta'ala has given us things what we can do before that great presentation, before Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So moving on. Let us now turn to our glorious true abode, i.e. paradise. So paradise seems so far away. Why? Because we've got to die first. Then we go into the grave. Then we've got the day of judgment. Then we've got, you know, the bridge of Sirat, then etc., etc. But paradise is our eternal abode, inshallah. So let us turn to, again, the Quran. Subhanallah. There are the following 15 most informative names that our exalted Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given to our true abode in his glorious book. So look how interesting. Alhamdulillah, we should know quite a bit about paradise because that's where we're heading, inshallah. But how many of us actually know what Allah Ta'ala has said about paradise? How has he described it? Look how strange that is. You know, you'd think that that should be the most important thing for us. So, a little test. You ask a brother, brother, describe paradise. 90, the high 90s will go straight to hadiths. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. MashaAllah. But then you say, brother, anything in Quran? And then you look at it, well, the Quran and these same thing, it's not the same thing. One's created, one's not created. Right? So how does Allah, the one who created paradise, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, describe paradise? So there's 15 very interesting names he's given to paradise. The first, Al-Jannah. Again, you ask a person, brother, inshallah, will you be going to Jannah? And he goes, inshallah, brother. He goes, what does Jannah mean? And most of us say paradise. Isn't that true? And yet, that's not the translation of Jannah. Al-Jannah means the garden. In Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse 42, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Ula'ika Ashabul Jannah Hum fiha khalidun. These are the companions of the garden. They will live there forever. Ashabul Jannah. La yastawi ashabul nari wa ashabul jannah. Ashabul jannati humul faizun. In Surah Hashr. The companions of the fire and the companions of paradise shall not be held alike. The companions of the garden shall be triumphant. Allah Ta'ala called you companions of the garden. So why? Why has He subhanahu wa ta'ala called paradise Jannah? So you have to go to the Arabic. Otherwise you miss all this. So the word for garden in paradise is Jannah. Jannah has got many other words taken from its root which help to explain Jannah. So all of the words that come from its root have a common denominator and they all relate to something hidden. So for instance, to give you a few, Junnah in Arabic, Junnah. Junnah means shield. So how is that related to Jannah? Junnah covers the warrior. You can't see him. If he's got a shield, literally he's completely hidden behind the shield. So the link is, you can't see behind the shield. Jinn. Can we see the jinn? No. That's why they're called jinn. They're hidden. But they're there. Janin. Janin means fetus. Can we see the fetus? No. Well, we believe with the most, you know, strongest microscope, you see the fetus. Jannah is the link. So somebody goes, well, Jannah's garden. It's called Jannah because it's so thick in its greenery, you can't see behind it. Think about that. So if you had an aerial view, you know, bring dunya into it, you have to literally get through the greenery to see what's behind it. But it's not actually green. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in Surah Al-Rahman, and this is the shortest verse of the Quran, you know, very interesting, Allah Ta'ala puts these descriptions. Mudhammatan, shortest one word verse. What does that mean? It translates, it means the intensely green, the intense greenery, i.e. of paradise. But the tafsir authorities, they say, it's bordering black. Because it's so enriched with the water, the rivers, the flour, the honey, the milk, everything is supplying it, that it almost becomes black, i.e. the leaves. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, what is the most common way He describes paradise? Jannah. Question, does it mean paradise? You've lost everything, brother. You haven't given any justice to the word Allah Ta'ala has given. So look how interesting, gardens. And even in the world, what do people do? And they even say, if a person's got a mental illness, they goes, he should do gardening. And he goes, why? And he goes, there's something about the earth. They go, they got green fingers, right? Because what happens? And they feel good. You know, elders, you know, they just go gardening, feel champion. So there you go, because there's a trace of Jannah there for you. Every fruit that came onto the earth in this, the initially was from paradise. Think about that. And sometimes you have that one fruit, and what happens? You think, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And that gives you that little taste. You have a mango sometimes, you think, oof. And he goes, that initially came from paradise. We came from paradise, our father. But what's happened? It's been diluted with the world. Normal water is mixed with it. This dunya soil is mixed with it. So the famous description, Jannah. The second, in Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 127, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Lahum darus salam inda rabbihim. And for them is the abode of peace and security with their Lord. SubhanAllah. For them is the abode of peace and security with their Lord. So what is Allah the Almighty and Glorious? How does He describe paradise? Darus Salam. So obviously there's a book, you know, store that's called Darus Salam. Not talking about that. Right? We're talking about Jannah, right? The abode of peace. Dar, abode, salam, peace. Why has Allah the Almighty and Glorious called paradise Darus Salam? Because Hafiz ibn Qayyim explained, rahmatullah alayh, in his Hadi al-Arwah, page 84 to 5, he recites another verse. In Surah Sa'd, Surah 38, verse 50, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Jannati 'adnin muftahat lahumul abwab. Gardens of eternity whose gates will forever be open to them. Subhanallah. Gardens of eternity, whose gates will forever be open to them. He explained, in keeping the gates of paradise open is a clear sign that it is an abode of safety, peace and security. Subhanallah. Somebody goes, leave your front room door open. Are you feeling what I'm here? He goes, why? Can't leave your front room door open. Your thieves are about. So it's not a place of security. You're right. Some places in the world, you can't do that. But there's still a possibility something could happen. Why are the gates of paradise, the Quran says, open? You enter paradise, the gates don't close again. I don't know how it closes, right? But it doesn't close, it remains open. Why? Because nobody's going to be going out. Who wants to leave paradise? So it's called Dar as Salaam. Allah Ta'ala has given you a clue in the Quran. And these gates, like I've mentioned, in Ahmad Sahih, Tabarani Sahih, our beloved Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the distance between the two panel gates of paradise is the distance of 40 years walking. Subhanallah. The distance between the two panel gates of paradise is the distance of 40 years walking. So don't get this impression, little gate. What the hell sort of a gate is that? Astaghfirullah. This gate, you know, the Bible calls it the pearly gates. We have no idea whether they're made of pearl. But it's huge. And these gates remain open. Subhanallah. Dar as Salaam. The abode of peace. And also, look how interesting. What does Allah Ta'ala say in that verse? Surah 38, verse 50. Jannati Adn. Eden. English word. Eden. You ask the, you know, Bachari, Eden, what's Eden? Right? He goes, gardens of Eden. No, that. What is Eden? And they're baffled. They go, it's paradise, isn't it? No. Eden is taken from the Arabic. Adn. It means eternal. Look how interesting. We actually teach them English. Right? He goes, you've taken something from Arabic and you forgot the meaning. Gardens of Eden. And he goes, so what's Eden? Paradise? No, it's not. It means eternal. Eternal gardens. Think about that. Gardens here wither. You got seasons. Spring, winter, class, it's gone. You know, what happened to your trees? And then spring, you know, he starts putting clothes back on again. And summer, thieves come from the apples. Third description. In Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 30, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wala ni'ma darul muttaqeen. And how excellent is the abode of the God-fearing. And how excellent is the abode of the God-fearing. Darul muttaqeen. Now if you notice something, what pattern are you noticing about the descriptions? How does Allah the Almighty and Glorious more often than not start the description of paradise? What word does he use? Dar. Dar means abode. Home. Has he ever used that word for the dunya? He used it only once. And he made me laugh. Darul Ghurur. The abode of deception. You fruitcake. Right? Allah Ta'ala is called dunya. He goes, yeah, it's an abode. But this is a deception. It's a mirage. We're lost in it. Imagine you're in a desert now. You think there's water there. Brother, look, there's no water there. For God's sake, you're in the desert. No, yeah, I'm going to have it. And then when you get there, you drop dead in it. Astaghfirullah. So Allah Ta'ala does call it once. Dunya, dar. But He adds a word to it, ghurur. He goes, are you stupid? But when He talks about paradise, look at the way He's describing it. Darus Salaam. The abode of peace. Darul Muttaqeen, the abode of the God-fearing. Why? There's no shaitans there. Darul Muttaqeen. How excellent. Look what Allah Ta'ala says about it. As if He's impressed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala ni'ma darul muttaqeen. How excellent is the abode of the God-fearing. How is He impressed? He's created paradise. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth. In Surah Ghafir, Surah 40, verse 39. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا مَتَى وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. O mankind, or O my people, the life of this world is nothing but a temporal commodity. whilst the hereafter is certainly the abode of permanence. SubhanAllah. Surah 40 verse 39. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Who is he quoting? And I believe he's quoting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because all my people, no, I beg your pardon, he's quoting the believer who's defending Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, all my people, the life of this world is nothing but mata. And how many times have I mentioned what mata is? Mata is a temporary handkerchief, no, disposable handkerchief. You see downstairs, when people put it in the masjid, what do? Take one out, blow your nose, put it in bin. You can actually say to a person, that's dunya. And he goes, what's dunya? Where you put your blessed snot on. Right? That's dunya. And he goes, what you want about? He goes, that's mata. It's used for some, you know, it's got a need. Chuck it in bin. Mata. But then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Wa innal akhirah. He's stressing it. Verily. وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةِ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ. It is the abode of permanence. Look at the contrast. One is describing as a temporary handkerchief. Worthless. The other is describing as the abode. Dar again. Darul Qarar. Permanence. One of the scholars, he was trying to highlight this forcefully. He goes, nothing in paradise needs to be repaired. Look how strange that is. And if you, you know, when you don't think about it, you think, oh, yeah. But think about that. What do you mean? Right? Think of the things that, you know, everything needs to be repaired. I get ill. Is there anything in this world you're thinking? Sweet. Never touched it. Right? You know, it's just, well, what's happened? Gotta take it to specialist. Gotta do this, gotta do that. Fallen ill. I'm getting old. I'm eating all the great foods, but still getting old. What's happening? Everything's going. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala brings people in, he takes people out. The hadith is in Ahmad in his Zuhd. Allah the Almighty created the world. And the angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, oh our Lord, who is that place for? He goes, the sons, the children of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam. So they looked. And there's, you know, possibly trillions of jinn. He goes, how are they going to fit on that? So he goes, ya Allah, how are they going to fit in this world? He goes, oh, they're going to go in waves. Some are going to go and some are going to come out. And he goes, well, how the angels don't understand? He goes, I'm going to create death. Meaning, there's people come in through birth and they come out through death. But then the angel said, but if you create death, they're going to feel miserable. How are they going to live their lives? Because they'll always be thinking, I'm going to die. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm going to create hope. That'll make them forget everything. Look how Allah Ta'ala knows you. If somebody, you know, push you on the spot, are you going to die? And you go, yeah, but 100%. Why you got a smile on your face for? Astaghfirullah. And then sometimes you notice when you think about it, you get really covered up because you've actually seriously thought about it. But I'm going to die. And then you hear that, what's he saying that for? Because he's now seriously thinking as he's, you know, gone into that proper mode for a bit. I'm dying. Then after a bit he goes back to that, you know, jackanory again, doesn't he? You know, dunya. So what's making him forget? Hopes. So here, note Allah Ta'ala says the abode of permanence. The palaces in paradise don't need repair. If I said to you, I can get you a palace that will never decay and is free, what would you say? Where do I sign? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in Ibn As-Sini Hasan Hadith, whoever recites Surah Al-Ikhlas 10 times, Allah Ta'ala will give him a palace in paradise. Surah Al-Ikhlas, authentic hadith. That palace doesn't need to be repaired. And what is that worth? And what does that tell you about Surah Al-Ikhlas? Right? Authentic hadith, meaning you're getting palaces in paradise. Now people are more concerned about palaces here. I need to put a plane on top. What were you putting a plane on top for? What's happening there? One last one to finish. In Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, verse 32, Allah the Almighty in glories, he says, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبُ وَلَحُ وَلَلدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعَقِلُونَ. And the life of this world is nothing but playing and distraction. And certainly the abode of the hereafter is better for the God-fearing. أَفَلَا تَعَقِلُونَ. Do you not understand? Who's telling you that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, you know, somebody tells you that, don't you get it? He's actually getting irritated. You know, you say something, don't you get it? Have you understood? Right? Then the person goes, no, I haven't understood. It irritates. Allah Ta'ala says that about the one who prefers the dunya over the akhirah. Now look how interesting, just to conclude here. What does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say about dunya? He describes very interesting descriptions he gives. Illa la'ibu wa lah. The word in Pashto for playing is laba. Laba. I don't know what it is in... How do you say?
Keel.
Right? But in Arabic, it's la'b. La'ib. So the, you know, in Pashto, mashallah, we've kept it more towards the Arabic. Laba. Allah Ta'ala calls dunya laba. Imagine you see a fully grown bloke on roundabout in play in park, and he's being spinned around by another bloke. What the hell's happening here? Right? And you walk up and go, what's happening? Oh, you don't understand. Get on roundabout. Right? You're thinking, I must have lost something here, right? Why is a fully grown bloke in a roundabout? Another guy's pushing him. Then you look and swings, and the guy's on swings. He goes, come on, right? You're thinking, I won't you admit that these people have lost their purpose? Right? And the Quran says, the dunya is a play. Then it says, wallah. Lah means futility. Allah Ta'ala calls music lah. In Surah Rum, sorry, right, Surah Luqman, he calls music futility, waste. Allah Ta'ala calls dunya a game and futility. And what does he say in another verse of the Quran? It's just a competition, Allah Ta'ala says. This is your competition. People don't like to hear it, right? But this is the competition that you've got. Children, how many kids have you got? I'm going to compete with you, right? Property, money. And then there's another thing Allah Ta'ala mentions. He goes, Allah Ta'ala goes, this is the game. Get off the roundabout. Astaghfirullah. Right? Then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, Wala darul akhirah. He goes back to that word again. The abode of the hereafter, khairul lilladheena yattaqoon. It is better for the God-fearing. Afala ta'akilun. Don't you understand? Allah Ta'ala is telling you, don't you understand what I'm telling you? And it's true, you know, he has to keep reminding us because we get lost in dunya. Why? Because paradise is waiting. Why are we getting lost here for? Think about that. You know, somebody goes, where are we heading? We're towards paradise. What's happening to the dunya with each breath? Going further away. So why are you putting your clamps on for dunya? You're going further away from it with each breath. You're getting closer to paradise. So even rationally, I should be focusing on paradise. I'm not getting nearer to the dunya. Right, so again, note the beautiful descriptions now of paradise. Dar, dar, dar al-muttaqeen, dar al-akhirah, dar al-qarar. Subhanallah. Dar al-salam. Allah Ta'ala has given you these names to let you, you know, reflect upon what I'm telling you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all I mentioned today was I concluded with the 32 blessed names in the glorious Quran for the glorious day of resurrection. And then I have now begun the few verses 15 or so where Allah the Almighty and Glorious is describing our true home. And nobody can be a more truer word than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ قِيلًا فَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ حَدِيثًا Surah Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in two places in Surah Nisa, whose can be a more truer word than Allah? Whose can be a more truer saying than Allah? Think about that. You know, people say, Sadaqallahu al-Azim, directly, bro, what did you just say there? Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah Ta'ala has spoken the truth. You believe it? Right? Why do you think you say that? Because you remind yourself, this is haq. Allah Ta'ala is speaking. Right? And what he's saying is absolutely true. Absolutely. Subhanallah. Are there any questions if you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر صدق الله